listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Peter Talman. He is the president and CEO and a director of Klondike Gold Corp. He's had an extensive experience as an exploration geologist over 35 years, in fact, and he's worked in Canada, Chile, Mexico, and Australia. He's been on this show a number of times before, as the president for Klondike Gold. Klondike is a favorite personal pick of my own. Also, it is a recommendation in my newsletter, and Klondike is also a sponsor to this radio show. Thanks for joining me again, Peter.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Good to have you with me. You know, I just should tell our listeners that your stock trades in Canada under the symbol KG. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol KDKGF. 90 million shares, more or less outstanding, around 42 cents Canadian, 34 cents U.S. recently. That's the price I've seen. Giving a market cap around U.S. $30 million, certainly not a very large market cap compared to some of the other stocks that I'm looking at, but that's good. That's good because I think your company has a huge amount of potential. So I'd like to explore that with you, Peter. You know, you're looking for the hard rock source or feeder of some 20 million ounces of gold has been mined in the creeks and streams in the great Klondike placer mining region. And your company has a huge district scale claims that are actually, I think, something like 55 square kilometers. Before you became involved with this project, you know, a few years back, I remember people saying, well, you know, probably most, if not all, the gold that came from the mountains around has eroded away. But your exploration efforts have suggested that's certainly not the case. As much as possible in layman's terms, tell us why you think there's an awful lot of gold yet to be found and hopefully mined someday from your project in the Yukon.
Well, I guess the work that we've done the last 3 years, I'm comfortable in saying now that we have definitively discovered some of the sources of the Klondike alluvial placer gold. And I can directly account Bonanza Creek was the original discovery and has produced 4 million ounces of gold over the last 120 years. And we're drilling on the ridge above Bonanza Creek and have discovered gold that has certainly been eroded off the hillside and is now sitting down in Bonanza Creek that has been mined or is still waiting to be mined. And the same, that the Lone Star Zone that we've been testing outcrops in a little gulch called Victoria Gulch, over about 200 meters of strike length. And Victoria Gulch is a tributary to Bonanza, has produced 1 million ounces in this little crack of a gulch over the last 120 years as well. And that gold is coming directly out of the bedrock in the creek, which is our Lone Star Zone. So I've also figured out a model for how all of the gold in the Klondike has gotten into the local creeks, and we're actively prospecting for the sources, the local sources of all that gold. So I'm hoping by the end of next year, I'll be able to explain nearly all of the 20 million ounces of alluvial placer.
All right. Well, I think your focus has mostly been towards the northern end of this huge, I think, sort of 55 kilometer long structure.
Actually, Jay, you said it's 527 square kilometers.
527.
What you think?
Oh, yeah. Yes, 527 square kilometers. The distance from the northern, let's say, the Lone Star, which is a target to the northwest, down to the Gold Run, which is in the southeast, is 55 kilometers apart, right?
That's correct.
Huge. Absolutely huge. And your focus has been mostly on the Lone Star, but there's also the Quartz Creek and then the Gold Run areas. Those are two other major targets that you're looking at. But your focus has been largely this year on Lone Star, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, what about the other two? You're going to be doing something with those next year, the following year? How soon can you get to those?
Well, we just, point of fact, I was just down to Gold Run 2 days ago. Really the first time we've had an intensive look at the target area. We think it's pretty much a long strike from Lone Star. We think it actually connects to Lone Star, so we went down and had a look, found visible gold in quartz veins in outcrop, and a widespread area of quartz veining that looks like it carries gold. We still have yet, it's going to take 6 weeks or so to get assays from it, but also identified a thrust fault that undercuts the area and an extensional fault that seems to be associated with the gold-bearing quartz veins, which is exactly the same geology and same structural situation as what we find 55 kilometers to the north at Lone Star.
That's incredible. So what we're looking at potentially here, do you see here then potentially one just gigantic gold system, huh? It seems like that may be what you're looking at.
I'm ridiculously excited about it because I can see in the Canadian Geological Survey has flown a really coarse, it's not very precise magnetic survey, but in that survey it shows there's a mag break, which would be it corresponds to the fault system at Lone Star, and it extends all the way down through and seemingly connects to Gold Run. So if that's the case, then we have gold at the top in Lone Star, 55 kilometers away. We have gold at Gold Run, connected by the same fault. And right in the middle of it is our third target, Quartz Creek, which is a 20 square kilometer gold and soil anomaly. That's about all we know about it now, but mm-hmm. it's bang on the middle right where this fault would come. So, yeah, I mean, it looks like it's, well, we have been looking for the mineralized event. What put all the alluvial gold into all the creeks only in the Klondike District? And this would account for it. So, yeah, I think we're onto something.
Well, it sure seems so. I mean, one of the disadvantages that you have from my perspective as an investor, it's both a disadvantage, but it's also ultimately a huge advantage, and that is the size of this target. I mean, you're, as you said before we went on the show, you guys are still in the learning process in terms of the structural controls, where to drill, and so it takes time, and investors sometimes become a bit impatient. I mean, my subscribers will remember a company called Novo Resources that we stayed with for 4 or 5 years, and finally the big payday has come. I have little doubt that that's going to happen for your company as well, Peter. But what, you know, talk to us a little bit about, let's just look at the Lone Star then. If I'm correct, I believe there you have some of the structural controls, or at least the plumbing that provided the liquids and the fluids that deposited the gold. You've got the Bonanza Fault, which is the major one, I believe, but there's also what is it called, the Nugget Fault and the El Dorado Fault, that are three parallel faults that are on the Lone Star. Give us some sense of how far apart are those, and how important are they in terms, from your understanding at the present, in terms of the control, structural controls, or the gold that's hosted there.
Well, yeah, you're right. We have three gold-bearing faults: Bonanza Fault, which is the one we've been focusing on, but also the ones that we started with in 2015 and 2016, Nugget Fault and El Dorado as well. And they're about a kilometer and a half apart. Each of them are gold mineralized. One of the things we just completed, so last Thursday, we had a news release where we announced that on the Bonanza Fault, we've now tested in, wildcat holes, so long step outs. We've tested Bonanza for 4 kilometers in strike length. Not coincidentally, we've now tested Nugget for 4 kilometers in strike length. And we're trying to do that to El Dorado, and we'll probably get to about 2 kilometers, and it'll be time to pack it in. But the idea is There's three mineralized structures. We see them in mag. They go at least 7 kilometers in length each, and that's to the limit of our mag's coverage to the southwest, which is, or sorry, to the southeast, which is running towards Gold Run. And again, we're trying to learn structural controls. We know that there's the individual rock types express gold differently or take it up differently, and we're trying to figure that out, as you say, as quickly as possible. It's a concern for us as management, too. We have so many targets and so much ground now that we think is prospective and does demonstrably have gold in it. We just don't know how much. So it's going to take a lot of drilling and a lot of figuring out.
Well, you're doing some drilling now. You just announced 4 drill holes, and you've got a bunch more coming. I think we're going to have news flow from this year's work all the way up through, what, January or so. We'll be learning, and you'll be learning as the chief geologist, and understanding and gaining more understanding about this project. But how about the news flow? What can investors expect to learn from you over the next few months?
Well, we'll be, as you say, we'll be releasing individual drill holes probably into the end of January as it looks right now. That in part is the labs in Western Canada have been really busy this year with a bunch of different discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, all of them are backed up. I'm starting to see that clear, but that's okay. And then because we added the second drill, we didn't add staff. And so we have about 30 drill holes on deck right now that have been quick logged, but still have to be logged and then sampled. And then you submit the assays. So late January, I would guess we're still announcing raw results. In February, we're going to start announcing the compilation results of, hey, we thought about it, and here's what's going on. And I can see, well, I would love to be able to discuss it now. I can see some stuff that's really positive, but we need more assays and data to say, yes, that's going on. There's multiple zones even within the individual faults. So I think there's lots of prospectivity. Anyway, by the end of February, early March, we'll announce for sure that we're going to have a $4 million budget, which doubles the work that we did this year. We've already raised the money. We have it in what it's already allocated for exploration, primarily drilling. And that'll still leave us at the end of 2018 with $4 million for 2019. So, you know, coming soon, news releases, then our news releases on drill assays, then a compilation, which I think that's what really everybody should look forward to, February and March, which is the potential. Here it is, put out on paper, you know, if it's 50, if we can connect Lone Star to Gold Run, there's a 55-kilometer-long gold mineralized structure.
Amazing.
With a big target in the middle. And then on Lone Star itself, or in the El Dorado Bonanza area, we have 3 faults that each have at least 4 kilometers of gold mineralization on them, demonstrated in drill holes. And here's what we're going to go do. We're going to drag 2 drills in, drill at least 15,000 meters of core next year. And I can already see, based on the few results that we have from this year's drilling, where to go next year. And I was telling the drillers this morning, you know, the first 20 holes are going to be right beside gold intervals that have hit, and that's going to be the program for the summer.
Mm-hmm. So we'll expect some good results, hopefully.
Yes.
Likely. I mean, it's well, you know, I mean, Peter, the thing is, I think one of the things that I'd like my listeners to realize is that it's the size of this project is one of the reasons that maybe, you know, if you had a smaller target, you could sort of zero in on some really high-grade sections, perhaps, and drill into those, and the market would get all excited and everything. And I'm sure you're going to come up with some, you have come up with some pretty darn good drill holes in the past. Nothing from these first four would say are, you know, the kind that are going to shock the market and get people really excited. But this is a big project that has, I think, ultimately the potential to be huge and something that's going to attract, I expect will attract with success, major mining companies. And I imagine some of them are, I imagine you're on the radar screen already of some of those majors.
I know we're on the radar screen of two of them.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, part of this is, and as you say, to back up a bit, the results were okay, and I think the results will be all over the map in terms of assays, but we're directly outside of Dawson, so the substation for power is 20 kilometers away along a road, so it costs nothing to electrify a plant if we wanted to.
Sure.
And the other aspect is something that I haven't really released, but the stats from our assaying, so it's a qualitative thing, but it would appear that the gold is coarse and we can recover it on a coarse screen, like most of it, the majority of it. So I think it's a simple process. The point is it's not microscopic gold, which would require, you know, cyanide or something.
Yeah, yeah.
We could potentially screen it. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, not only do we have low, super low capital costs, you know, prospectively dreaming a lot.
Sure.
But I don't think the operating costs would be that much either.
Yeah, well, it's go ahead.
So we don't need fantastically high grades here, mm-hmm. although we have them in places.
Yeah.
And that's another project for this winter. We're going back to Nugget, which was, you know, looking at this vein, quartz vein array, and realizing that there were other veins, and if we treat it more of it as a bulk tonnage, there are bigger, broader widths on the Nugget fault, and maybe we look at that differently too.
Yeah. Well, it's lots of reasons to be positive about this. I know I am. It's one of my largest, personally, one of my largest holdings. It's one of my favorite stocks in my newsletter. I'm really excited, Peter, and I'm looking forward to some more of those results coming out and keeping up with your story all the way through the beginning of next year. And then looking forward to next year's program. It should be very exciting. Anything else you'd like to leave with our listeners before we conclude our discussion today?
Well, I'd like to invite you up here to the Klondike.
I'd love to come.
Next summer. Come up and see it.
Yeah, I think I'll wait till summer, Peter. I think I will. But I'd like to do that. I really would. Yeah. And get my friend Chen Lin to join us and some other people. Some people at the Metals Investor Forum, perhaps. Some of the newsletter writers, some of the others. Have any of those, my friends there at the Metals Investor Forum, been up there? John Kaiser, Eric Coffin, any of those fellows? Brent Cook.
Not recently. They've been up in previous times and looked at the some of the quartz veins and not been impressed. I think we're trying to change that opinion from some of the work that's gone before. I think we have done.
Well, I'm sure you will. I'm quite confident that the results are going to speak for themselves over time. Thank you so much for being with us, Peter, and look forward to doing it again sometime in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you.
Well, folks, don't go away. We've got to go to commercial break, but when we come back, James Rickards will be with us. He's the former advisor to the Pentagon on all matters financial. He's going to talk about currency wars and what that might mean for the gold price. If you're bullish on gold, it will not be bad news, so stick around. We'll be back with James Rickards.
Novo Resources focuses on the exploration and development of gold projects. Its flagship asset is the Beatons Creek Gold Project in Western Australia, where it is currently upgrading and expanding on its resources to produce an economic study in Q3 2017, followed by construction in Q1 2018. Novo enjoys a strong balance sheet and supportive shareholder support from the likes of Eric Sprott and Newmont Mining. It trades in Canada and the U.S. under the symbols NVO and NSRPF, respectively. A gold rush has begun. Recently, three of the largest gold mining companies announced strategic acquisitions in the Yukon Territories. Ahead of them was a group who had already consolidated the key claims covering the historic Klondike Gold Rush into one company, aptly named Klondike Gold Corp. Led by a team of accomplished geoscientists, the company is steadily advancing exploration to reveal the rich source of all that gold. The hunt for the next major discovery is well underway, and Klondike Gold's shareholders are strategically positioned. Stay ahead of the majors and follow KlondikeGoldCorp.com.